Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit.
Welcome to Aging Gayfully in 2024. I'm Josh.
2024? Well, I'm Chris, and I've been aging gayfully since 1957. How are you at math?
I'm rubbish at math, if we're being totally honest. Let's just say that it's a good thing that I was born a year that 1971 has a one, because then the math's not too difficult to figure out how old I am given the year. And my son, my oldest son, was born in the year 2000. And that's heaven sent right there. Because I don't have to wonder how old he is.
you can always say, oh, I can do that math.
That's right. Now, I got married in 2014. So don't ask me how long I've been married. Oh, 10 years. Oh, no. See, that math I can do. 10 years this year. That's easy.
Yeah, I could even do that one, 10 years.
But it is the new year. I'm excited about all of the things that we have going on.
Happy New Year. Happy 2024. Yeah. It's my 67th year. I'm starting my 67th year.
Of what?
Of life.
Oh. In business. You know, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, monkey business, but.
Oh, goodness. New Year's resolutions. Do you do them?
You know, I think we all think about them. Some people are more adamant about doing them than others. I mean, I'm conscious of it. You know, I'd like to lose more weight. I'd like to travel the world. I'd like to do this and that. But I think my New Year's resolution is just continue to be happy.
Well, there you go. There you go. So, but have
why put any pressure on yourself? You know, let things come as they come. Create opportunities. Follow your dreams. You know my slogan. If you can dream it, you can do it. And that's what we've been doing here this year with our new Aging Gayfully brand. We're dreaming it and we're doing it.
I dream about beer and Oreo cookies, and that hasn't gotten...
Do you dunk your Oreo cookies in your beer?
Well, I don't, but I might. But just dreaming it for me sometimes can lead me into larger waistband. This is all I'm saying to you.
Well, yeah, I've got a... I don't get on the... Somebody asked me here recently, if you go to the... how often do you go to the gym? And I said, if there's a picture of me in the gym, then you'll know I've been abducted by aliens.
Well, this is the year or I should say the time of year where people are going to the gym in droves. They are going out and getting new sneakers and stretchy pants and all of the fancy things. And for the first, 3 weeks of the year, gym participation is probably at an all-time high. And then, of course, it goes down. But I'm fascinated by this idea of New Year's resolutions. I'm certainly behind the concept. Of course, the concept is you look back, you assess how last year was, and then you look at this year, and you say, "Okay, I'd like to make some changes. I saw that didn't work in 2023, so let's try this." I'm totally in favor of that kind of self-reflection.
I think everybody will always do that self-assessment and what would you like to do different and what would you like to see or do in the upcoming year. And I think that that's real prevalent, especially as you age. You know, you gain experiences, you're more conscious of things that you'd like to do. Are you a risk taker and want to really dive into something new? I love looking at like Instagram, and now since you've introduced me to TikTok, all these creative people that at whatever age they're following their dream, and they're I wouldn't say throwing caution to the wayside. That's probably a little bit too bold, but maybe that's just me in my comfort zone. But I see people being happy when they're doing things that give them joy. So there's no reason to postpone happiness. But that seems to happen a lot these days. I don't, you know, what the... you know, that's why we want to create something here that's fun, upbeat, and, you know, challenging a little bit, you know, to step into your comfort zone and do the things that you really have always wanted to do.
This whole idea of postponing joy, I think that possibly can be linked to the fact that we don't do enough self-reflection. You know, we're talking here about the one time a year where we intentionally, because it's built into our culture, we intentionally look at and we assess where we've been, where we're going. But shouldn't that be a weekly thing or even a daily thing? And a lot of people don't build time in their schedules for that kind of self-reflection.
You know, exactly. And I think I'm going to use a seminary term, because this word came up quite a bit in the seminary. Discernment. Yeah, you know, that discernment, you know, when we used to joke about it in the seminary, you know, discernment, or should we really be here? Do we have that authentic call? And you know, I think discernment is a universal word that we all use internally that we don't often feel comfortable talking about openly with our friends and our family, you know, that, you know, where do you fit? What do you want to do? Is this the right path that I'm on? You know, I think discernment is good in a lot of areas. I look at it for myself as I never really felt like I fit in a lot of places. You know, I've like with my family, who I love very dearly, but we have a different my five siblings and I, we have a different experience of growing up. They grew up as five together, and then this thing comes along. My oldest sister was a senior in high school, and then my next sister was a junior in high school. So, and they have this little brother. And so I kind of grew up in a single family, because they were all gone, and we had different experiences. And I guess where I'm going with this is, you know, we're finding that place where you fit in without any internal struggles. That's where that discernment comes in. You know, it's like, oh, I always gravitated to do something different.
Yeah. And that's interesting too, because there is quite a connection, believe it or not, between New Year's resolutions and knowing who you are. And This is what I mean by that. I was reading an article yesterday in Psychology Today, and the gist of the article was having a strong sense of identity, having a strong self-concept is associated with greater self-control. Now, I had never thought of it that way. It makes sense when I hear it, but it took the smart brains at Psychology Today to kind of put that together in a way that I read the article. And I said, well, of course, you know, if I have a strong sense of who I am and what I believe in and what I want for myself, then yeah, I should get up and I should exercise, because I want to live a healthy life, because I want to be useful in the world, because I want to be there for my family. So I am Josh. I take care of myself. I am Josh. I am grateful. I am Josh. I am this. I am that. When I do these times of reflection in my week, in my day, then I have a roadmap to assess my actions against and say, oh, I fell short there, so let me fix that. Otherwise, you know, you have a person who's pretty aimless, they don't really know what they believe, then how can they possibly make a decision about what direction they want to go when they don't even really know who they are?
It's very insightful. It's also very deep. You know,
is that too deep for January?
No, I don't think so. I think it kind of sets the tone about where we're headed with this podcast and the areas that we want to explore, both internally ourselves and externally with guests and topics that come up. But as I'm kind of reflecting on what you've just said and finding out, you know, who you are, the conversation in and around orientation. I always laugh when somebody says, well, it's a choice. You make a choice. Every gay person has their own way of coming out and dealing with the social norms, per se. But I don't mean to simplify it, but I'm going to. It really comes down to what's inside your heart. That's when, you know, and it's like, well, you chose to be gay. I said, well, you know, I didn't see a sign up sheet, but I did follow what my heart was telling me. It would be unnatural for me to pursue a relationship with a woman because it wouldn't be natural to me. Now, that doesn't preclude the fact that I haven't been attracted to some women. I probably need an instruction manual, but there's been some women that I've been attracted to, both physically and emotionally, and I say, yeah, I could, yeah, but is that really is what inside your heart? You know, those social norms, those things that come up throughout one's life, you know, you end up learning how to deal with them internally so that you can live a full life. But it's not as easy as just flipping the switch. And that's why it's like, oh, you chose to be gay. I said, well, I don't know. You chose to be straight? Then when you say that, it's kind of the insightful people that you know that then they start looking at it at a broader spectrum. And I think that's one of the challenges that we want to talk about here in Aging Gayfully going through 2020. You did say that earlier, 2024. It's really, yeah, it's, but I think those are the type of conversations we want to have. They talk about people in their, you know, the coming out experience and, you know, did you choose to be straight, Josh? Did you turn that switch on that one day and just say?
I mean, I've turned on several switches, but that is not one of them. There's other switches that
that's
I've turned on.
That's a natural, yeah. It's a natural, yeah. So.
Well, what's interesting to me is this idea of having the question asked, well, did you choose to be gay? Because the inference behind that, whenever someone asks that, it's usually, well, this is a bad thing that you've chosen to do. So, right. In other words, what that person is doing is they are labeling you as bad or wrong. And so that right. is mm-hmm. an identifier that they are putting onto you. Here, take this sign. You know, here's your sign. You've got people from a young age being told you are wrong or you are bad. I've seen so many folks growing up in a religious background who have been told that they were sinful. Now, that is a terrible thing to have to carry around. Oh my God. You are sinful.
So I'm listening to an audiobook right now, In the Closet of the Vatican.
Oh my goodness. Nonfiction then.
This is something that has been well researched and the author is well known, and being involved in church like I had been for so long, it was like, you know, I knew all those things were going on in the background, but to have them kind of confirmed in one sense, you know, reminds me about choices people make. Some are good, some are bad, but they have nothing to do about your sexual orientation. I can choose to eat an apple today, but I can't choose what my orientation is. That just comes naturally.
Yeah. Yep. So when we're talking about identity here, I just want everyone to hear the message that you are accepted here. You're accepted here at Aging Gayfully. Yeah. For whoever you are, and our greatest joy is just, if we do anything, it's to help you more fully discover who you are. I mean, that could be a New Year's resolution.
You've got a comfort zone.
That could be a New Year's resolution for the podcast, is just existing to help people be more comfortable in who they are so that they can age gayfully, so that they can be joyful and happy.
Yeah. And of course, as you feel comfortable, share your story with us at yes, I am at aginggayfully.com. You know, if you're interested in sharing your story this year as one of our guests, we'd be happy to do that, or read your story online, or if you just want us to read it and not share your name, we're cool with all of that. We want to give people the space to feel comfortable on who you are at no matter what age. Well, let me preface that, 18 or older.
But as we are, and we're talking about New Year's resolution, could you guess? So I found a survey of this year, Americans who were making New Year's resolution. First of all, what percentage of Americans, of the folks surveyed, do you think, and it's a pretty large sample size, what percentage do you think are making New Year's resolutions?
I don't have the slightest idea.
38%.
Oh.
38%. So that was interesting to me, because that's less than I thought, you know, would, right? And of those, 68% say that they have historically kept their resolutions, which, good for them. That's actually a larger number than I thought.
That's a large, yeah. That's.
But the top five resolutions, what do you think they are? In no particular order, if you would like.
I think health is probably in the top five, and that could be looked at as going to the gym or walking or being more attentive to your own needs.
All right, so I'll stop you there, and I will expand this to the top seven, because number seven is losing weight, right? So that's an aspect of health. Number six is improving mental health, which I'm glad to see that this conversation about mental health that we've started to have as a society is reflected in people's stated goals. That's wonderful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then number five is eating healthier. Number four is improving physical health. And number three is exercising more. So far, all of the ones in the bottom five are all having to do with health. Now, there are two more. There's number two and number one. They don't have to do with health necessarily, but all of the other ones have to do with health, which of course speaks to the fact that we are not a very healthy society, are we?
Well, I think we get so caught up in, I think in the American society, we get so caught up in work and trying to get ahead financially, which is certainly on the financial side is very important. But I think when you're finding that path where you're doing something that you love to do and you can monetize it, then all components of your health and well-being improve. I didn't learn that. I was aware of it, but there was a very long period of time when you felt like you had to do things.
Yeah.
And here's a parallel for you. I'm going to let my ego run wild here. So
do
I hope
it,
everybody.
Do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So in 2020, I was elected by my peers to the St. Louis United States Bowling Hall of Fame. That's local into St. Louis. And, you know, what was great about that was it was my peers who had elected me. But what was also interesting about that is I hadn't bowled a tournament since 1987.
Oh, my gosh. Your shadow is cast long, though.
Right. So, you know, they created a category for veteran performance, and it was really great. I remember that night at the banquet like it was yesterday, and it's been a few years already, and seeing people that I hadn't seen in years. And I remember my speech that night when I said, because when I quit bowling on the tour, I quit cold turkey. Last tournament was in Baltimore. I think I finished like 20th that tournament. And in fact, I got on a plane that night and went back to St. Louis, and I never bowled another tournament. In fact, I left my bowling balls in Baltimore, and I had a guy bring them. But I said in that night at the reception, I said, well, you know, I just kind of quit, because I knew that in one sense, I wasn't going to get any better than what I had already been, and that it was time for me to do something else. So I ended up taking a job and working 9 to 5. And then I said, what was I thinking? You know, again, 20 some years of experience of working in areas that maybe you felt like you had to work in order to make a living in one sense, but it comes back again to, you know, following your dreams and doing things that you really enjoy doing, that if you can monetize it, that really expands your happiness and self-care and self-compassion. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about here, is finding that combination that you can expand on your talents and skills and monetize that, so you never have to work another day in your life.
That is something to aspire to.
That's my resolution.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
So number one, resolution of Americans, saving more money. We're talking about the finances, and that's tip top on everyone's mind. But number two is the interesting one, because it is, I think, both wonderful, but also it gives me a little bit of pause, right? Number two of Americans surveyed, what are your top resolutions? Be more happy. Be more happy. Now, I think that's wonderful, and it's a recognition that there is more to life, and that the end goal of working is not to work, but to be more content and more happy. The end goal of taking better care of yourself is not to have a sculpted beach body, but it's just to be more content and more happy. However, I want people not to just say, I want to be happy. I want people to say, okay, then, now what? I want to be happy. So what are some measurable, attainable goals to help make myself happy? Because to me, the saddest thing is someone who recognizes that they're not happy, but then they don't put into place any steps to reach that goal.
Right. And I think we all fall prey to that. Now, I can't say all. I mean, people, we feel prey to that when we just kind of stay into our routine and not, you know, venture out and follow our dreams and goals.
Yeah. So we got to make goals.
We have to make them. Goals. And one of our goals is to grow the Aging Gayfully brand into a viable network of both travel and social endeavors, and giving people the opportunity to share their story so that they can find it in themselves about self-compassion, you know, following your dreams and running with it.
Exactly. So can we help you more fully live into who you are? Can we help you more fully find out what it will take to have you be really happy and content? Then let us know. Contact us and let us know.
We certainly want to know folks who have accomplished this. You know, share your insights and your tips, because we're all here really to help one another. Gay, straight, black, white, we're all in this together. And there's too much of this you and me separative type of conversation that's been going on, especially politically. We can all have different viewpoints and different ideas, but we can certainly all dialogue so that we can learn more about each other. And we find out, you know what, we're really not that much different. We all want those same three things: love, care, and commitment, mutual respect. What's so difficult about that?
All right, Chris, well, how can people get in touch with us?
Well, they can get in touch with us at yesiam@aginggayfully.com. That's yesiam@aginggayfully.com. And we're going to be working on a new website over the next couple of months, a little bit more interactive, and we're going to have some travel plans coming up in 2024 where you can book your travel through Aging Gayfully. We'll have an announcement about that coming up in one of our future episodes. And we're looking at a conference in Fairview Heights, Illinois, which is kind of a suburb of St. Louis, in the fall. And we're going to get Josh some toasted ravioli and Ted Drews. So
in other words, cut the carbs is not going to be one of my New Year's resolutions.
It's a carb fest.
All right. Well, until next week, that guy over there, he's the Hall of Famer, Chris McClellan.
That's me. I have my plaque right here. It's, you know, I have proof. It's
From now on, that's going to be how I introduce you, the Hall of Famer, Chris McClellan. And I'm just the study hall, Josh Wilson.
The study hall.
So until next week, y'all just keep on aging gayfully.
Imagine a gay guy in sports. God, it's like, really?
Okay, we're out of here. Talk to y'all okay. Later.
See you next time.
Bye.